They called it witchcraft. They called it evil. They banned it, feared it, burned its symbols, and tried to bury its names. But it never died, because Obeah is not just a practice. It's a presence. It's the whispered knowledge passed from grandmother to granddaughter, the herbs tucked into cloth before battle, the river water blessed before birth, the rhythm chanted in darkness when your body remembers something your mind forgot. Welcome to the History of the Caribbean audiobook. If you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss a story. Today, we're honored to bring you Obeah and the War of Spirit. Get ready to immerse yourself in a powerful narrative that goes beyond music into legacy, resistance, and roots. Because here, our mission is simple: to keep our culture alive, one story at a time. Queen Nanny didn't just use Obeah. She was Obeah. This insight is not about folklore. It's about the war of spirit that stood behind the rifles, the battle beneath the battlefield, the unseen force that made the colonizers tremble. Let's start by unlearning, because what most people think about Obeah has nothing to do with Obeah. What they picture, voodoo dolls, black magic, curses with no cause, is the white imagination's weapon, a colonial lie. Obeah is African spiritual science. It is the ability to speak with the unseen, to move energy with intention, to protect through invocation, to defend through divination, to know what the enemy doesn't even know it fears. And Nanny, trained in Ashanti tradition, did not arrive in Jamaica as a blank slate. She came with power, not just in her hands, but in her knowing. Obeah was her map. It told her when to move camp. It told her which warriors were ready, and which ones carried fear in their hearts. It told her where the enemy would tread, before the enemy even knew it themselves. She didn't have drones or satellites. She had vision. There's a sacred space just outside Moortown. Locals call it the Listening Grove. They say that Nanny would go there when the moon was lowest, when even the wind held its breath. There, she would sit with her hands in the soil, her eyes closed, her breathing synced to the earth's. And when she returned, she always knew where to strike, whom to trust, when to disappear. This was not luck. This was not guessing. This was spirit strategy. This was Obeah in motion. Obeah is not one thing. It is a weaving of herbs, of chants, of symbols and senses. It's knowing that salt purifies, that smoke sends messages, that red cloth repels envy, that water remembers pain. It's being fluent in the language of protection. And in a world where enslaved people were stripped of everything, language, religion, dignity, Obeah was the one thing they could hide in their bones. It didn't need temples. It didn't need books. It needed only memory and intention, and Nanny had both. During battle, she used Obeah to cloak her warriors. They painted symbols on their skin with ash and leaves soaked in bitter herbs. She rubbed oils into their scalps, prayed over them, tied blessed beads around their ankles. And always, she warned, the body is weapon, but the spirit is shield. British soldiers reported strange sightings, phantoms in the trees, echoes with no source, dreams of red cloth wrapping their throats. They said their bullets missed, that their hands shook, that they fired into shadows and felt watched in their sleep. What they were experiencing was spiritual warfare, and they were unarmed. The British made laws against Obeah. They passed acts in 1760 banning it, jailing those who practiced, torturing those who healed. But you can't outlaw what you don't understand. And every time they tried to silence it, Obeah changed form. It whispered lower. It hid deeper. It traveled through lullabies and cooking smoke and old women with cloudy eyes who knew too much to speak. Nanny's Obeah wasn't only for battle. She used it for birthing, for mourning, for cleansing the land after blood had spilled. She used it to speak to the river, to guide souls back to their ancestors, to seal wounds no plant could reach. And she passed it on, quietly, patiently, to daughters and sisters and women who would one day stand in her place, though never in her shadow. There's a reason why, even now, her rituals survive. Not just in Moortown, but in parts of Kingston, in Miami, in Brixton, in Accra, wherever people of the diaspora gather, and someone says, light the candle, say the name, don't eat salt after dark, wash with lime water, tie that red string. That's her. That's Obeah. That's Queen Nanny's war still being fought, not with machetes, but with memory. Let's pause here. Because maybe this isn't just history. Maybe this is recognition. Maybe you've been taught to fear what runs through your own blood. Maybe you've called it superstition. Maybe you've kept quiet when your grandmother laid a broom at the door or lit a lamp without explaining why. Maybe it's time to listen differently. Because what they feared in Obia wasn't darkness. It was power they couldn't steal. It was protection they couldn't erase. It was a woman kneeling in soil, eyes closed, telling her people, "They can take your shackles, but not your spirits. They can take your children, but not your songs. They can try to kill me, but they cannot kill what walks with me." This is what the war of spirit looked like. Not in smoke, but in stillness. Not in conquest, but in knowing who you are, even when the world tells you not to. Queen Nanny didn't just resist slavery. She resisted spiritual colonization. And in doing so, she gave us back our tools. So ask yourself, what have you hidden out of fear? What sacred parts of your culture have you dimmed to fit in? What rituals are waiting to be remembered? The war of spirit is not over. It's in your silence, in your resistance, in your refusal to forget. And when you call her name, even softly, even once, she answers, with protection, with presence, with the kind of knowing that no empire can ever unteach.